We talked yesterday mostly about Lyme disease, and it's more and more coming out, the information, the science. There are a lot of medical doctors that have gotten Lyme disease, and so they've gone from a basic general practice to being a Lyme-literate medical doctor. Celebrities, Avril Lavigne is known for having Lyme disease, and we interviewed her a while ago on WGN, and she said that she almost died, that she was in bed, and she actually said goodbye to her mother, thinking that she was going to die. It's that bad for a lot of people. Shania Twain, we know that she was knocked out of the business for a while. The Hadids, Ella, if you're going to have to help me on this, one of the Hadids, like her mom.
Gigi.
She had it, I should say has it, because it's one of those things that you have for the rest of your life, and it's whether or not it's active. Allie Hilfiger, Tommy Hilfiger's daughter, this is a story. She wrote a book called Bite Me, and this is a story that she went her entire childhood having this and got diagnosed with so many different things, of ADHD, which happened to both my sons before they found out it was Lyme disease. And she was hospitalized. She even went into a mental facility because they thought she was just losing her mind, and finally got diagnosed. Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates. The list goes on and on of all the people that have had Lyme disease. So we want to continue the conversation with Dr. Jill, because mold is an issue for a lot of people as well. And it's like an invisible illness. You oftentimes don't even recognize that you're being exposed to these toxins. And so that's why we wanted to continue the conversation. So joining me again today is Dr. Jill Krista. There was so much to talk about that I figured we would delve a little deeper into the whole mold thing. So again, joining us is Dr. Jill Krista. She's the author of the international bestseller Break the Mold and Naturopath Doctor. Traveling from Wisconsin, thank you for making the trip.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so we talked yesterday a little bit about mold, and it is so complicated and so confusing. So one of the reasons you wrote the book, but you had your own personal experience that we talked about yesterday, which I'm sure was one of the reasons that you wrote Break the Mold, 5 Tools to Conquer Mold and Take Back Your Health.
Yes.
First thing again, let's talk about, how do you know if you even have a mold illness?
That's the toughest part. Mold can affect every system in the body, and it can create almost any symptom in those systems. So the fact that it's so global makes it really difficult to identify that that's the problem. Most of the time, someone already has some low-grade symptoms. So maybe they frequently get headaches, or they struggle with fatigue. That's a pretty common one. Or maybe they don't sleep so well, or maybe their digestion is a little tricky. And mold, when you get exposed to the toxins from mold, it makes any pre-existing symptom or predilection worse. So you can get more exaggerated headaches, or maybe you're more fatigued, or you have insomnia more frequently. So it doesn't really hit the radar.
Well, not only that, but when you're listing just those symptoms, those can be coming from anywhere.
I mean, exactly.
If you're on social media, you see, you know, do you have this, this, this? Oh, then you must have this. It's like, no, it's such a puzzle to figure out. And I would imagine most people, how many doctors did you see before you figured out it was mold?
Well, thankfully for me personally, I was already treating mold sick people. So, but even though I knew what it could cause, when you're the one affected, you get so much brain fog that it never hit my radar either until the flood hit our house, until finally the problem revealed itself. So it was just one of those things where I thought, oh my goodness, I'm so lucky because I knew exactly what to do when that happened, and I could engage into treatment mode and take care of it and remediate our house. And it just, that was the real motivator for writing the book, because I thought, I had the tools, and everybody needs to know this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they weren't obvious to me, even though I was trained in it. It was more fatigue, a little more headache, and some of the things that I listed already. The reason for listing those is that's the most common things that I see, and it certainly was the problem for myself and my family as well.
And for people that don't get treated right away, the symptoms get worse,
mm-hmm.
and you've got the 5 tools. Can we talk briefly about what each of those are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I really should have said methods, because it's not just a simple tool, but the idea is that the tools organize the thought process. So I have a graphic in the book with an orange. For me, it was the easiest way to depict visually what the process of healing is. So the five tools refer to the peeling of an orange. The first two things have to be done completely so that you can fully access the middle sections, just like an orange.
Okay.
I mean, you can eat it with the peel on, but it doesn't taste
right. Nobody wants to do that.
No.
Nope.
So we take the first orangey layer off, and then you take that white fluffy layer off. And for that, in the first five tools is avoidance and fundamentals. If you don't have those first two things on board, meaning if you're still being exposed to the mold, you're not going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of success treating mold because I think I'm very strict with people about that. There's a lot of negotiating that can happen with yourself and your own mind.
Yeah.
Because it affects your living space, or it might affect where you work.
Mm-hmm.
And that can affect all kinds of financial things and family upset. And if you're the first one in your family to get sick, then it can seem like you're the one with the problem and it's not a problem for everyone else. So why should we spend the money?
Another reason it's difficult to diagnose, because one person in the house might get sick. They might have that genetic susceptibility that we talked about yesterday. And if the other family members are fine, then the other person, they say, oh, it's just all in your head, or it's just stress. You need more sleep. Mm-hmm. All of those different factors, which makes it even more confusing. And not only that, but I think a lot of people think it has to be visible mold.
Yes.
To make you sick.
That is a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So often the molds that make us sick, the toxic ones, can survive behind building materials. So they could be under flooring, behind a shower, under a fridge, and you don't even see it because it's underneath those building materials, behind drywall. So what's making you sick is not the spores. Like we said yesterday, you know, mold illness is spore illness plus mycotoxin illness. So all those symptoms that are caused by mycotoxins, they're not necessarily respiratory. They're not necessarily the things that the CDC recognizes as connected to mold illness, which is really spore illness. So, you know, asthma, allergies, hypersensitivity, pneumonitis, that's, you know, sensitive lungs. Those are things connected to spores, but the toxins, that's what causes the biggest problem for people. And that those come right through the building materials.
And that's basically the toxins that go airborne after the water damage.
Mm-hmm.
So within 48 hours, you can get those airborne toxins.
Yes.
And there's really sometimes not even a smell, correct? Because oftentimes you go into a building, it's like, ooh. You know it's moldy. You know it's mildewy.
Musty, yeah.
And musty. Mm-hmm. But there are oftentimes you really don't even smell it.
Right.
And it's making you sick.
Yeah. The toxins don't have a scent. The thing that you smell with mold are all the chemicals that mold makes as part of its general living environment. And those need to be exposed to oxygen to make a scent. So if they're trapped, then you have the toxins coming through the building material, poisoning the air, but no smell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's terrifying. I'm sure for everyone listening, they're thinking, what? You know?
Yeah.
But that was the case in our house. It didn't. If you came into our home, people would say, oh, you keep such a clean home. And, you know, I mean, it just seemed like it was a newer home. So it wouldn't have hit the radar as an old building, a problem building, wasn't stinky, you know, those kind of things. So that's why it was such a shocker when we found out it was mold.
And all it takes is a little bit of water damage. It can be from a toilet leak. It can be from any of those other things that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And you think that you've got it taken care of. Flooding is the worst. Flooding is, if it's not completely 100% remediated and everything dried out, then you're going to experience these airborne toxins. Some people get sick, some people don't. But anytime you hear the word mold, you just get scared because it's so, so toxic.
Yeah.
So, okay, you talked about the environment, getting out of the moldy environment.
Avoidance.
And the fundamentals.
Fundamentals, that's, you know, good, clean living. That's all the things, if you went to a naturopathic doctor, they'd be talking with you about. Eat vegetables, get sleep, exercise, get outdoors, have healthy relationships. You know, those kind of, but the fundamentals, when it speaks to mold specifically, there are things that you need to avoid in your diet that can make a mold sick person feel worse.
Like what?
Sugar. That's a big one.
Anything that causes inflammation?
Particularly things that feed the fungal balance in our body. A healthy body keeps all of our invaders in balance, and we have a healthy microbiome. You have healthy microbiome, so you have healthy bacteria balance, fungal balance, viral balance. All of our our body is used to having these things as possible threats, but it keeps it in balance. But if you have been exposed to a moldy building, now it's increased the fungal burden in your body. It's caused a little uptick in your fungal load. So anything that you eat that feeds fungus, their favorite food, which is sugar helps them.
Damn it.
I know.
Dang it.
Yep. And alcohol, because fermented foods.
Sugar.
While you would think to yourself, oh, well, that's the way. So kombucha and fermented foods, that's the way to have a healthy microbiome.
Good bacteria.
But if you already have a fungal overload, it can tip that balance.
Because it's fermented.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is that the same thing as like mushrooms?
Mushrooms
because
are the same.
Because they're fungi?
Yep.
Fungus?
Yep. Because they're in the fungal family. So,
okay.
This I learned from my years of working with mold sick people, because I made the mistake of saying, oh, you need fermented food. We have to get your gut straightened out. Let's go, you know, start drinking some kombucha. You need to eat kimchi. And I ended up making them worse. So my opinion is my opinion and my perspective. Not every mold treating doctor agrees with me, but, you know, all I can come from is the experience that I had from, you know, over a decade of working with mold sick people.
Yeah.
And doing it everything wrong.
And I also think about, well, and I think that this is just getting a lot of attention now, and because more and more people are getting sick.
Yes.
And finally discovering why. So I think it has been a learning process for everyone, not only the patients, but the doctors as well. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because when you talk about kombucha, I think about yogurt.
Yeah.
And I was out of town and the store didn't have the usual yogurt that I get. And so I picked one up that I thought was healthy. And when I really looked at the ingredients, I thought, what? This is going to make me worse. It was like a toasted coconut. I thought, oh, coconut's good for me. There was no coconut in the ingredients. None. It was artificial flavoring.
Wow.
And so I thought, oh, here they're promoting that you're getting good bacteria by eating yogurt, and it was terrible for me.
Right. It's fake food. Franken food.
Yeah. Okay.
So back to the tools. So I'll just read them off really quick so people can, I'm sure it's driving listeners crazy. Like, what are they? So the first one is avoidance. The second is fundamentals. Mm-hmm. Then you protect. And the fourth is repair. And then you fight the mold. So if you don't have the first things in place, if you start trying to kill the mold that has invaded your body, you will get worse. Any symptom that has now become a big problem for you becomes a bigger problem, and that can become really intolerable.
Because you're still being exposed.
Mm-hmm. And you haven't protected the cells from the die-off. When mold dies, it gets more toxic.
The mold in your body?
And even in the environment.
Okay.
So that's why I try to have people like, slow down. Let's make sure we have fully peeled the first two layers.
Okay.
So the classic is, and I did it, because I knew about it. I thought I could, you know, work around it. You stay in the house when it's being remediated. We did that. You're not supposed to do that. And the reason is because the mold gets more aggressive. It senses the threat. It sends out little pheromone messages to all the other fungus in that building and says, let's go. Let's make more toxin. We're under threat as a community.
And if you're not getting the house remediated by someone certified in mold remediation, because I went through an experience where someone came in, I asked if they were mold certified, and they said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, well, what are you going to do about the negative pressure? Because I've learned a lot about this.
Yeah,
and
sounds like it.
He looked at me like, what? I'm like, dude, if you don't know what negative pressure is, as far as mold remediation, you are not certified. So it's crucial to find the right people, or a lot of people think they can like Google it and do it themselves and throw bleach on it.
Right.
Why does bleach not work?
Yeah. So, well, bleach works to kill mold, but it doesn't address the water problem, the intrusion. And as we just said, mold will get more toxic as it tries to defend its territory.
So you throw bleach on it, and mold is like, oh, no, this isn't going to work for me, and then throws more toxins out.
Yeah. So mold will make you chemically sensitive. Even if you weren't a chemically sensitive person, if you've been exposed to a water-damaged building, you can become chemically sensitive because of all those other chemicals we talked about that make the musty smell.
Okay.
So alcohols, aldehydes, VOCs, they pump that stuff out as just normal. It's like mold farts.
Okay.
You know, just normal metabolism.
Okay.
But that becomes a chemical that our body has to process. And not everybody is sensitive to those chemicals, but after a certain amount of load, your body can only take so much. And so now you put in bleach, which is another chemical, and it just creates, you know, I've seen a big, burly, former NFL football player called me and said, I feel like I'm having a stroke. I'm in the ER. What's going on? And that's exactly what he had done. He had gone into his lake home, and they had had water damage, and he just went in, cleaned it all up, and landed in the ER 4 hours later.
Because his body couldn't handle that toxic load.
Mm-hmm. So Insane. It doesn't matter, you know, how fit you are or burly you are or anything like that. This is all genetic susceptibility and how much of a total load your body has taken on.
Okay. Now, I know we're running out of time, but real quickly, I want to talk about PANS and PANDAS, because a lot of kids are affected by that, and there are so many parents that don't know how to recognize the signs. So is that something that comes from being exposed and these kids being sick and then not being treated? What are some of the symptoms?
That's a really good question. So PANDAS and PANS is, for those that didn't hear the previous one, it's infection-induced autoimmune encephalitis. So what it means is that the body is now having an autoimmune process where it's attacking itself at the brainstem and the nervous system. If you think about what's happening with mold, it's immunotoxic and neurotoxic. So it means it poisons the immune system and the nerves. So that's a perfect storm setup for now you have an infection. It could just be that the difference between PANDAS and PANS is PANDAS is strep only. PANS accepts the idea that it could be really any infection, but commonly it's mono or Lyme disease or something that's low-lying, that if your body has it under control, you get into a moldy environment, your immune system goes down, nervous system gets toxic, and now, boom, you can create an autoimmune disease.
So you said strep. I know a lot of parents deal with kids with strep.
Mm-hmm.
How, if you have a child that has several strep infections, then that should be a red flag, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it's not just something they caught at school.
Right. Yeah. I mean, kids get strep. Mm-hmm. That's fairly normal. But if it's a repeated occurrence, then you know that there's something going on with the nervous system and the immune system where there isn't a communication. Maybe the immune system is becoming more and more depleted, so you get sort of a functional immune deficiency. Some kids are born with immune deficiency and we don't catch it. And then our lifestyles of go to school even though you don't feel good, people having to go to work even though they don't feel good. So number one, we're spreading disease, but we're also creating functional immune deficiencies and, you know, the way we eat and
right.
all that good stuff. We don't sleep.
Everything we're exposed to, just lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are parents, and PANS and PANDAS is, that's pediatric, right? So this is basically affecting children. If there are parents listening that have kids that have strep frequently or even mono, what can they do to get tested?
They can go look for on the PANDAS network. It's an online, it's a nonprofit organization, but they have online resources and it's loaded with great resources. They can find a practitioner who's trained.
Okay. And is there a certain website for that?
PANDASnetwork.org, I believe, is the...
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And it's a great resource for parents, even if you're just like, whereas with mold, I have a questionnaire that really gives you a risk of, is this mold or is it not mold? There's nothing really out there with PANDAS and PANS because it's still a burgeoning diagnosis. We don't really have solid PANDAS criteria, but PANS is sort of a new idea of like, oh, so it's not only strep that can cause this kind of symptom picture. And you had asked about the symptom picture. It's the infections, frequent infections, are the precursor. But once the autoimmune process has taken over, it can be anything that is a perturbation or an activation of the nervous system at the brainstem level. So we see compulsions, tics. It's also hurting the kidneys and kidney function, so you'll see urinary frequency. Quite commonly, you'll see kind of generalized abdominal pain that doesn't really have a connection to what you ate or anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of times we'll see some anorexia in just the fear of food or the fear of being able to swallow. And I think that that has to do with the fact where the nervous system is getting attacked.
Okay.
Is very close to the swallowing centers. And swallowing is a really complex nervous system dance to do a good, effective swallow. We see this in stroke patients. They have difficulty swallowing. So I think that, the fear of eating has to do with just what the inability of an effective swallow.
Wow. It's so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk forever about it, but give us your information on how we can contact you if we want more information.
You bet. DrCrista.com, DrCrista.com. I also have a YouTube channel, and on my website there is a ton of free information about mold. You can check out my panda shorts. They're just little short videos about specific things I've found useful for pandas and pans.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Great. It's wonderful having people like you out there in the world helping parents going through this with their kids or going through the mold themselves. Again, Dr. Jill Krista from Break the Mold, 5 Tools to Conquer Mold and Take Back Your Health. Thank you very much.
Thanks.